Hello, Nicole.
Hey, Kate.
How are you today?
I'm buzzing. I mean, you and I...
Buzzing.
Buzzing.
She's buzzing.
It's been a fun... I mean, like, you and I just saw each other 3 days ago, and we've chatted...
Every day since.
For podcasts, every day since, so it's been...
Can't stop, won't stop podcasting.
Like, you thought you could get rid of me? You can't.
Amen.
And you know what? I'm... buzzing even more because what a treat today we have.
We have such a treat today. I am pinching myself truly that we're about to have this conversation. Something that you and I have been wanting to have for a long time. And this is on manifestation, everybody. This is on manifestation. If you dream it, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you manifest it, you can make it happen.
Exactly. And we've always said that.
And so without further ado, this is our conversation with the one, the only, Miss Jamie Chadwick.
She's a 3-time W Series championship winner. She's an Indie Next, what is it called? It's a feeder series. Indie Next feeder series. She's crushing it. She's here. She's there. She's everywhere.
Jamie Chadwick.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay? And see me?
Yes, perfect.
Cool. There is an IndyCar test going on. They've just stopped, but if it gets too loud, let me know.
Okay.
You know, if it does, then that's really interesting background noise for this, and it's really authentic. So it'll be perfect.
Cool. You put that over the top.
It works great. Well, thank you for joining us. We're really excited to have you here today.
Good. Thank you for having me.
A lot of our community is really just, I think, you know, start off with the basics is how did you first become interested in motorsports? Is it something, you know, you grew up with your family? And do you also have kind of an early memory of attending a race as a fan and kind of where the passion for motorsports came from?
It's a good question because I still can't really pinpoint exactly what it was. Growing up, I didn't really know a huge amount about Formula One, a huge amount about motorsport. I didn't come from a racing background. My parents didn't race or anything like that. But we did grow up on the Isle of Man, my brother and I, which is a small island in between England and Ireland. And a lot of motorsport history. There's something called the TT, which is a bike race, and there's quite a few other things that they have there. So I think that's kind of what sparked my initial interest, maybe. But it wasn't until I was a little bit older when my older brother started in go-karting and I kind of went to the track to watch him a few times that I just started to think, oh, maybe actually I'd like to give this a go. And it wasn't until after all of that and after I started in go-karting that I actually really became a fan of the sport and started to love Formula One and follow it.
I love that. What was it that made you love it so much?
I always say there's so many things about motorsport. Like, it's not, you know, one thing that stands out. Before I got into racing, I did other sports and I always felt competitive and I loved the feeling of doing well and having that kind of, I guess, level of success in sport. But then when motorsport came along, the thing I guess that I liked the most is there's the speed element, there's the adrenaline, there's a big team element with it as well. There's obviously the mechanical kind of engineering part with the car. And for me, there were just so many different things that kind of added to the sport and made it so much more colorful than maybe I thought it was at first. So that was a big part of it.
I love that. So we know that you started your racing career alongside your brother as a teammate. Must have been really, really special to be able to have that kind of opportunity. So can you tell us a little bit more about that dynamic and if you would ever do something like that again?
I don't know if I would do it again. now my brother and I. So I feel like that's a good thing. I don't know if I want to kind of compromise that. But yeah, when we started, I mean, I just followed my brother. He was the one that paved the way. Our family, to be honest, didn't know a huge amount about the sport. So it was my brother that would be the first person to kind of start and he'll learn things, try things, and then I'll come through and then kind of learn from, I guess, his mistakes a little bit. Yeah, in our first years of racing, he was a little bit more experienced. So we weren't really competing directly head to head. So it wasn't so bad, but then slightly later, I must have been about 14 and he would have been about 16, and we were kind of properly competing against each other. So at that point, that's where I felt sorry for my parents. Although it was nice that we could both do it together, none of us one of us was either happy and one of us was sad, and it was never the both of us could be both happy. So yeah, it was a challenging time, I imagine, in the family.
Yeah. Is your brother still racing?
He's not, no. So he stopped maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
But now I'm the only one flying the flag in the family.
You're carrying the torch forward.
So, you know, you've been in a lot of different motor series since you started. And how are you liking Indy NXT? Is it, like, how is it different from the FIA series you've been in? And do you think you see a path back to FIA series in the future? Or are you kind of happy where you are right now?
I'm absolutely loving it, to be honest with you. Yeah, there's something that's just been really enjoyable this year. Aside from sort of the on-track stuff, I think just off-track, the environment, the paddock, the team, everything I've really, really loved. I've really enjoyed traveling to different parts of America as well. This weekend we're in Laguna Seca, and I keep smiling because it's just honestly one of the coolest places I've ever been. So in that sense, I'm very happy here. Obviously, I want to be able to perform and get results and have success over here, but I definitely feel very happy in the environment. Ultimately, I want to make it to the highest level and compete at the highest level. And for sure, that it does involve going back to Europe maybe at some point. But at the moment, I'm looking at having as much success as I can have doing what I'm doing. I'm lucky enough to have this opportunity in Indy Next, have the support that I have. And now I just want to make the best of that and have as much success over here as I can.
Is there a place in America that you think would be really fun to have an Indy car race that there isn't one yet?
Ooh, that's a good question. Let me actually think about this, because there's on our calendar, or on IndyCar's calendar, they go to Long Beach, which mm-hmm. is where I really want us to go, because I think that's quite cool. But I remember when we raced in Texas, at COTA, that was one of the best races, you know, I've ever actually attended or been at in Formula One. So I feel like maybe if IndyCar could get a slight glimpse of that as well, that would be pretty cool.
I feel like it's got to happen. Circuit of the Americas, COTA has every racing series, so it's only a matter of time.
Exactly.
So speaking of races, what is your kind of typical race day look like? How do you get into the zone? What is your routine?
It's changed a lot over the years. The older and maybe wiser I'm getting, the more comfortable I feel in my own skin, and the more comfortable I feel doing just what I'm happy with doing. And that doesn't involve a huge amount in terms of overthinking the process. I'm pretty comfortable now knowing what works for me. A lot of the work happens sort of behind the scenes before the weekend, so when I come to the weekend, it's just about dialing in and feeling comfortable. I don't like to have any superstitions, I don't like to have anything like that. I always end up fixing it, but a big thing for me is like physical preparation. You know, if I feel physically fit and I feel good in myself, then I always go into a weekend feeling the best version of myself. So that's become a big thing outside of the race weekends for me.
Is there anything you have like a treat after the race where you're like, okay, like I'm treating myself to something nice after my races, or are you, you know, pretty straight and narrow?
No, I like a treat. I'm not too bad on food because I like I generally like quite good food, but I do love a glass of red wine. Mm. So that ends
Feel
up
that.
In
We are in good company. We also love a good glass of red wine.
I like on the flight home quite often, my favorite thing to do, if I'm in the position to do it, I will have a cheese board and a glass of red wine, and that will be my like cool
amazing
like, happy on a Sunday night. So that's probably my guilty pleasure.
That's Kate's go-to travel hack for overseas flights, is just one or two glasses of red wine to go to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm really strict on the way out. So always on the way out, really strict, kind of pretty good. And then on the way back, I'm like, okay, I can treat myself to this.
Yeah, you did it. You did something really cool that weekend. You worked really hard and you deserve cheese and wine.
Exactly.
Life's simple pleasures.
Exactly.
So in your career, you've had some really, really interesting teammates. You know, you started off competing against your brother, and then you were teammates with David Coulthard. And my personal favorite that I just learned about is that you raced alongside Paul Hollywood, which I'm obsessed with. And so I have to ask, like, who has been your favorite teammate that you've ever had, and who would be your dream teammate to have someday?
Ooh. favorite pool was very fun. We did a championship together, and it was a year that I was still studying, so it was only a part year, so it was very good fun. But I think favorite teammate outside of maybe pool, I've had a few. I've always had good teammates. There's no one I would be like, God, I don't want to ever be teammates with them again. It's nice. We're enjoying this year. I'm really enjoying. I was just having a moment with my teammates actually, because this is our last race, and we're still like, it's weird. This is probably going to be our last race as teammates. So I'm happy with the environment this year. Hunter, James, and Louis. They're all well Irish, English, and Australian, so a bit of a good mix. very good guys. And then dream teammate, I would say. There's a few like obvious ones, I guess, but I would definitely put Lewis Hamilton in there. I don't think it'd be a dream team at all, because he would be impossible to beat.
You would learn a lot though. So in that aspect, he would be a perfect teammate.
I'm fascinated. The older I get, the more I think about this. I'm fascinated by elite performance. Mm-hmm. I feel like in a lot of sports, you can see very closely, you know, what they do and how they go about what they're doing. But most people don't fully get that, so I would love to just see exactly what he does and how he does it, and ultimately how he's become as successful as he is.
Yeah. Are there any other athletes in other sporting areas that you really draw inspiration from, since you like to learn from kind of those elites?
Yeah, I mean, I follow a lot of different sports, and I think there's different approaches in different sports for different things, but I think Serena Williams was a big one in tennis. Mm-hmm. Now kind of following more tennis, it's very cool to see how she's really paved the path in a sport like that. And then in football now, it's really cool to see, especially for us in the UK, the Lionesses have been huge in inspiring a lot of us in what we're doing. So just seeing the quality of female athletes that are coming through now is very cool.
It's very inspiring. We want to talk a little bit more about Paul Hollywood, because this is just so, so fun. So can you tell us a little bit more, about your experience racing with him, and, you know, if the roles were reversed and you were on the Great British Bake Off, would you be able to get a handshake from Paul Hollywood in his
bread week?
That's probably not bread week, actually. I'm not the best with bread. I do like baking. I think a lockdown thing. Because this is the shame, is we were teammates back in 2016, or we worked together in 2016, and he was awesome. It was really fun. He's got a big passion for racing. So, it was very fun to kind of be part of his first journey into racing and help him through that a little bit. And then also I was very young and doing my own thing. So for him to also mentor and help me in other sort of aspects of it as well. So it was really fun. I really enjoyed it. But the baking side was funny, because I always wanted him to come with some baked goods for the track. And he never did. And I remember we had a few mechanics that every now and then would try and get a handshake or whatever. I mean, now, since post-lockdown and things, I love baking, I love cooking. So now I kind of wish I was teammates with him. So he's like, try my lemon thistle cake, try my banana bread.
Do you have his phone number? Do you ever text him photos of your baking experiments and say, can you rate this? Do you think this is good?
I've not said anything of what I've baked, but he sends me messages quite often. It's really nice to look on my phone, because like he does keep up with what I'm up to. And it's been a long time since, you know, I actually seen him in person, and he'll always send a message saying good luck, or if he's seen a result, saying well done, which is really cool.
That's so nice. It's nice to know that people that you see are the same way that they are, like, on TV. And, like, he's always so nice. Like, obviously very strict as a judge, but, like, just so nice. And so it's nice to hear that he's just like that, you know, in real life, too.
Honestly, I can say a bad word about him. So, he's a great guy.
Well, I think that next time you bake, you have to send him a photo and say, am I star baker this week with this treat that I made.
Yeah, I was gonna say, can't wait to see you the celebrity episode of the next Great British Bake Off. It's gonna be amazing.
I couldn't deal with that pressure. That's
too much. Wow, too much pressure.
She can race race cars, but British Bake Off is too much pressure. That's very interesting. Okay, switching gears a little bit. Obviously, there's been a lot of conversations about racing series devoted towards female racers. And so obviously we saw W Series come to an end, which you were so dominant in for so many years. And then kind of right on the tail of that, the announcement of F1 Academy under Susie Wolf. So, you know, I think you have a really unique perspective on the two of them. And do you think that, you know, from what we've seen, that F1 Academy is set up for success, and why or why not? And kind of like, what are your thoughts on the evolution?
Yeah, I feel like there's quite a few parts of, well, of this whole topic, to be honest.
Yeah.
First and foremost, which is what I know so well, is W Series. And W Series for me is quite funny, because I was actually having this conversation with someone last night, and when it first came about, it had its critics. I was one of the critics. I didn't understand it. And I did it, and I'll be open and saying this, I did this because I hadn't really had another option. I didn't have much else, a chance in terms of to be continuing single-seater racing. So that's why I did it, but I never, never, ever thought that it would have the success that it had. And I think W Series did a great job marketing it and placing it in the position they did, putting it in the TV coverage ultimately on the F1 package. But I think really what made it successful was the appetite for women in the sport, which is definitely something that there clearly is. So whilst it wasn't sustainable and it couldn't, you know, continue, it first of all did a huge thing for my career and completely transformed my career, but also a lot of the other female talents. But like I said, whilst it wasn't sustainable, there was definitely something there. There's a product, there's something that, you know, people are engaging with and they're interested in, whether they're young female aspiring racing drivers or mechanics or engineers, or they just are interested in following something like that. It had interest. And so I wasn't surprised when F1 Academy or F1 came in with the idea of doing something similar, because there is success there. The difference, I think, now with F1 Academy, which is great, is Susie's involved. And I think Susie is a proper powerhouse, and she's the one that is going to be great at taking it to the next level. I don't think we should be quite so critical to kind of define it as success or failure, because I think that's what a lot of people did with W Series, particularly at the end of it. They deemed it a failure, and it's like, that's not been a failure at all. It's had three very successful years, and it's done a huge amount for the sport. So I don't think we need to be as black and white as that, but ultimately there's a long way to go in terms of what we're needing from the sport to get women to the top of to Formula One. And F1 Academy is not going to do that overnight. It's not going to do that in 1 to 2 years, but if it can play a role in the next kind of big movement of the sport, then I think it's going to be a great thing.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point, and something that we have always said when we've talked about this is we're big proponents for progress over perfection. And it's kind of, like you said, unfair for people to come out and say, this isn't perfect. This is not, like, what they're doing is not the right thing. And I think, like you said, there's an appetite for it. So even just to have something else come in and have someone like Susie at the helm, I think is progress, and it's something that can only kind of get better from here. And that's, you know, what we should be focusing on, rather than saying, okay, after this season, is it a success or did it fail? It's progress, and seeing how it can adapt throughout the years and continually get better is like what's most important.
Exactly that. I think progress, that's the best way of putting it. It's not going to happen overnight, and it shouldn't happen overnight. When I read often comments about me being in Formula One next year or even last year, that's not how the sport works. It doesn't work like that for any male racing driver. It won't work like that for any female racing driver. But getting closer to it and making this, as we say, progress, that's what's going to make the difference. And I think that's what F1 Academy has a great opportunity to go out and achieve. And I'm excited about it, because I'm a big believer of everything and anything we can now do to help women in the sport is a good thing. I love seeing so many more young female girls get the opportunity. There's a lot of talent coming through. I'm excited.
We are too. We wish that we could make it easier to watch F1 Academy, but again, progress over perfection. Maybe next season.
I think that stuff, they're aware of that. Whilst it's not maybe being the easiest this year, they're aware of that, and next year I think that's where it's going to start to turn a corner, and it'll be great for that reason.
Do you have any hobbies or interests outside of motorsport? Obviously, we know that your life is dedicated to racing cars, but you obviously have to like other things as well.
Red wine and cheese, boards. Yeah, that is my hobby. No, I'm a typical racing cliche, racing driver cliche of I love golf, I love cycling. Like a lot of these kind of other sports that we can do outside of racing. They're quite big ones actually now. And it's nice because it, especially the cycling, I like because it means I can stay fit and healthy and it's part of my training, but also it's something that I love and enjoy doing. So yeah, I'd say golf and cycling, generally other sports that kind of end up being the things I like to do.
What is your favorite track to drive on and why? Ooh. I know you said Coda was one that you've really liked, but is there any other tracks that you're like, this, if you could only drive one track for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Yeah, I mean, Coda, I feel like that kind of comes more under the whole vibe and the atmosphere and everything. And I think with that, I put Silverstone in terms of just all-round experience.
Yeah.
Home track, home crowd, the track's great, but it's more the whole experience. In terms of sheer driving experience, I do think this weekend could change this because this track looks amazing at Laguna Seca. But I love, there's Road America, which is in the UK, in the US, that I love. And also, when I was young, I did the Nürburgring 24 hour, and the whole Nordschleife is unbelievable. So, yeah, I've given you about five different tracks there. But
that's okay.
That's okay. The more the merrier. I think it's really incredible to hear you just kind of list off all of these iconic tracks that you've been able to compete on. So just a testament to what you've been able to accomplish. So, okay. So one thing we wanted to touch on was, I don't know if you heard, I'm assuming you did, about Danica Patrick's recent comments about women in motorsport. She said, at the end of the day, I think that the nature of the sport is masculine, it's aggressive. You have to, you know, handle the car, not only just the car, because that's a skill, but the mindset that it takes to be really good at something that's not normal in a feminine mind. Now, we just wanted to know what your thoughts were on this perspective that Danica Patrick has, and if you had anything to say to young women who might have heard this and had kind of a second thought about joining motorsports.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope that there aren't, well, no one's heard that and thought, you know, that's going to put me off. Because I don't think, I definitely know that wouldn't have been Danica's intention with it. And I think for me, Danica's someone I massively look up to. Now, especially that I'm over here in the States and I understand better what she did, it's impressive. And I think that's kind of partly where she's coming from, is what she did in this sport back then, before the whole women in motorsport was a topic. She really didn't have to take herself to a level outside of probably maybe her comfort zone, but it would have been outside of my comfort zone. She really took herself to a level to be able to be competitive with the guys that she was racing, and both on and off the track she adopted this kind of approach that did mean that she had to be like that. In my opinion, I don't think that's so much the case anymore. I feel confident I can be the way that I am, and I feel like I'm able to be like that in the sport. And I like to think that, you know, that's kind of still adopting, you know, the approach of that, well, many other young girls can adopt. It doesn't change so much. So I think the way I see it is slightly different. I think I say this a lot. When I started in the sport, I would try and be like one of the guys, and I'd try and be like boys, just because you fit in like that, and that's the group you're around, and you try and sort of go with their jokes. And I kind of always regret being like that, and now I just want to be myself, and I would encourage any young girls just to be themselves, and the sport is open to that. I don't think, you know, it will come naturally to you. You'll either love the sport, want to be in it, want to be racing people side by side, or you won't. I don't think that is defined by gender. And so, yeah, like I said, it will come naturally to you, and I would just say to stick with what you feel is true to yourself, because I think that's the most important. But on the flip side of that, I do see, you know, the fact that Danica did really have to hustle hard for what she achieved back when she did.
Yeah, it's nuance is very important. To kind of think about it in terms of, you know, someone's opinion and kind of where it comes from, what it stems from. And, you know, a lot of people probably saw that and it was just an absolute no and didn't like it. But I think it's a good point to kind of look back and, you know, think about what her perspective was when she was saying it. So I think that's a good reminder as well.
It's hard to be the first person to do something. And, you know, when you're paving the way, it's not an easy journey. So
exactly. Honestly, the sport's changing a lot more than people realize, and it's so more accommodating, I believe, than perhaps it was for the likes of her, because, yeah, back then it was a very different sport.
Yeah, for sure. So I know we're coming up on time, so we have a couple kind of quick-fire questions for you, a little bit easier, a little lighter. So first question is, what is the last book you read that you would recommend people read?
I wish it was something more educational, but I read, I haven't finished it yet. I think, you know, the It Starts With Us, It Ends With Us?
Mm-hmm. Colleen Hoover.
Yeah, I've read a few of Colleen Hoover books, because those are my, like, switch-off moments. So yeah,
You're talking to the right crowd. We love those books here, so.
I mean, I was going to say, I wish I had something a little bit.
I was going to say, we're starting a book club. We're going to have cheese boards and red wine and Colleen Hoover books is what I'm hearing.
The other book that I am actually also reading a little bit at the moment is it called Greenlight by Matthew McConaughey?
I don't know.
It's an author. Okay. I think it's called Greenlight, but it's...
Is it like an autobiography or is it fiction?
No, okay. It's autobiography. Autobiography. It's about Matthew McConaughey, but it's very interesting.
Cool.
He's a very interesting guy, so I'm not surprised that that is a good one. We'll have to check that out.
Cool.
Next one is your favorite movie.
That's like a really hard question to
answer. It's a loaded question, it is.
This is really going to paint me in like a very uneducational light, but I watched Just Go With It again the other night, and I love that.
So good.
Okay, Jamie, it seems like we could be really good friends, because that's one of my favorite Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, I really want to lie and like some documentary or something, but yeah.
Jamie, something about this podcast you should know is that we don't take ourselves very seriously here, and we like to have fun, so it's great to hear that you also are like, you know what, I could say something super educational, but I'm going to be really honest and say Adam Sandler and Colleen Hoover.
Exactly.
And the last question is, what is a song that you've had on repeat lately?
Oh, that's true. I might look, because I've definitely got a few that I listen to. I've been, okay, really continuing the theme, but I've had a lot of Harry Styles on recently. I really like, I've been listening to, it's an artist, I'm plugging them beyond belief, because I did a thing on them the other day, but Jungle. I couldn't give you a song, but there's, Joseph. Joseph is who I've been listening to a lot.
Okay. You'll have to put together a little playlist so everyone knows what your go-to songs of the moment are. I'm sure lots of people would love to know that.
Maybe. I don't know. Not once they listen to the playlist, they're very Yeah, we'll see.
All right, well, those are all the hard-hitting quick-fire questions we had for you. Thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us today. Best of luck this weekend. You've had a really great season. We can't wait to see what you do next.
Cheers, thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bye. I love her.
The girls are getting it done. Having good convos. I'm obsessed with her being like Colleen Hoover and Adam Sandler.
Like, yeah. That's us. That's 4T21.
I want to be like, have you ever read an F1 romance? Yes or no.
Have you read A Court of Thorns and Roses?
I really want her to say
like...
it.
I know, she was like, oh, it's going to be uneducated. I was like, please say it.
Please say it. I'm adding you to our group chat if you do.
You're coming to the summit when the next book comes out. I hope you're ready.
Dead.
Fuck IndyCar. I know it's at the beginning of the season, but guess what? You're going to have to take some PTO, okay?
I'm dead.
Truly incredible. She's such an icon. She's a legend. She is the moment.
Yeah, that was so fun. I love to just hear from people about just like everyday things. Also, yeah. I can't get over the fact that she raced with Paul Hollywood.
I know.
That was the craziest thing that I've ever like found out. And now I feel like I have to go do some research and like find some videos of Paul Hollywood racing a race car. Like,
yeah.
Interest of mine.
So what I'm hearing is we have to get Paul Hollywood on the podcast.
Have to get Paul Hollywood on the podcast to talk about all of this. Like, we have to. That's just what it is.
Remember the last time we really got shit on the internet a lot was when we said that we were going to buy Haas with TG enough Bitcoin and put Jamie and Mick on a team together. And everyone was so mad at us.
Jamie would have been mad at us too. She even said, she's like, when people joke about me being an F1, that's not how it works. I'm like, damn, you and our haters.
She created accounts and she was like, that's not how it works, guys. Jamie, but it could be if we have the money. That's how it works. If you have enough money,
we would just put you there.
I'll get you an FIA super license. Whatever needs to be done, I'll pay people off. We have our own Bitcoin.
We have our own Bitcoin. We're rich.
Okay, you're not understanding this hypothetical situation.
We're rich.
We're billionaires. We do what we want.
We get to do anything. This is like how Lawrence Stroll bought a team for his son. We will be buying a team for Jamie.
Exactly.
We are the new Lawrence Strolls.
And our co-sponsors are going to be Kindle Unlimited and Adam Sandler. Okay, Amazon Cloud? No, Kindle Unlimited. That's where the real money's at.
That is where the real money's at. I'm like, can't believe that. Do they make money? And how?
Well, we have to pay for a subscription fee.
That's true.
So
it's not technically unlimited because I'm paying.
And then they also don't let you include, you have to return some books, so it's not like really
unlimited. I know, it's really dumb. I had to do that the other day. I had to return some books, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I paid for these. And then I was like, I actually didn't pay for them because it's Kindle Unlimited, but like, I feel like I deserve to have them still.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Thank you.
I'd love to see Jamie's Kindle library.
I know, I want to see it really bad.
I want to see it so bad now. I want to be like, girly, what are you... You play. I think she played it safe with the Colleen Hoover.
I think so too. I know she's Red Akhtar.
She's playing it safe.
She didn't want to admit she's wearing reading fairy smut. This is a safe space. You can admit it. You can talk about it on the internet like we do all the time.
We're not afraid,
and we're not judging.
Anyway, that was such a dream come true.
And now I'm like, okay, well, we have to get to Indy next year to see her. So, and make this, and I will be bringing red wine and cheese boards, obviously. Yeah.
Next time she's in New York, she's got to stop by the wine bar.
Yeah.
I'll treat her to a really good cheese board and glass of wine. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She's for the girls. Absolutely. Yeah,
100%.
And so I hope you all learned about a new side of Jamie today, because I feel like looking at her social media, I feel like she's really kind of all focused on her racing persona. And so it's really fun, like you said, to be able to kind of talk to people about
other things. Like, and, you know, what's your favorite movie? Like, what's for your book? That's the kind of stuff we on this podcast want to know. Yeah. And I think, you know, we were talking about this prior to talking with Jamie, and, you know, when we were coming up with questions, and obviously our first thoughts were like, we got to talk about women in motorsports. And I think, you know, obviously we peppered some of those questions in, but I think that's kind of also a tired narrative. And it's, you know, we don't talk to men about being a man in motorsports. Right. Like, just because she's a woman in motorsport doesn't mean that that is kind of all she's qualified to talk about. So wanted to make sure we were very conscious of that and asking her things about her, because she's not just a woman in motorsport. She's a person.
Women can do it all.
Women can do it don't all.
Don't forget.
And
don't
we're asking forget. About it all.
We have we're layers. Asking we're like onions.
We're like onions. This is like a parfait. Anybody... You tell me one person that doesn't like a parfait. Ain't nobody don't like parfait.
Kate's in her Shrek era.
That's my favorite movie. I want to be like, oh, what's your favorite movie? Do you want to know mine?
It's Shrek.
I'm actually interviewing myself.
It took everything in me not to be like, when she was like, just go with it. Kevin, or what's his name? Jason. Or when they're like, don't pour over me. It's literally the best movie. I love it so much. Jennifer Aniston slays in that movie.
She really does.
And then the little girl has a fake British accent. That's you and me. That was you and me. That was you and me at the
that's
Ferrari.
That's me growing up. That was me at the Ferrari Trento gourmet dinner when everyone was like, do your British accent. And I was like, guys, you don't want to hear me do that.
Hello, governor.
Well, it's funny because Jamie's from Bath.
I know. I saw that. I was laughing.
Like, me too, girly. Me too. my alter ego is also from Bath, so are we cousins? We might be. We gotta end this. We gotta get out of here. Oh man, I hope you guys enjoyed this fun little extra ep. If you guys have listened to our podcast for any amount of time, you know that we have constantly talked about kind of our dream guests, and we're really just ticking them off this summer.
We are.
This is the summer. This is the summer of achieving our dreams. We've got Gunther. We've got Jamie. Next up is Susie, for sure.
For sure.
And then a driver. I know it.
I know that to be true.
I know it.
So stay tuned, guys. Maybe a wag.
You know I would die. I'd love a wag, too. You know I would die. Who do you think of all the wags we could get on, like, realistically? I think Kika.
I think she would come on.
I think she'd have a good time, too.
We could catfish Carmen and say that we're a fine... a finance podcast. Two girls, one finance. TG1F.
TG1F actually stands for two girls, one financial analyst. And you're the financial analyst that's joining our podcast, obviously. And she'd come on ready to talk about girl bossing and be like, so, where do you get your clothes? Who's your tailor? I have to know, because I know that you didn't buy those clothes that fit you that well. Who's your tailor? You're a short girl like me.
Spill the beans.
You're a small queen like I am, and I need to know who tailors your clothes so impeccably, because I'm looking for one, and I will fly to London for that.
Don't test me.
I will bring every article of clothing that I own with me to London to all get tailored at the same time.
I'm dead. Okay, guys.
Okay.
Until Thursday.
I don't know. Until next time. Whenever the hell this comes out. Until the next episode, because like we said, we're dropping episodes left and right.
Can't get rid of us. But until then, we'll see you on the internet.
Bye.